Y'all probably noticed it took me a little longer to get up here tonight. I'm now old enough to be an elder. I turned 60 today. And I am really fearful of this little talk because I really just kind of said that. And then when I walked to the back of the auditorium, Ken said, "We're looking for a Wednesday night devotional. Why don't you just do it Wednesday night?" So for those of you who are here specifically to hear the Christmas light story, it was intended to be an announcement add-on. Okay? So just keep that in mind. I want to talk tonight about what it means to come in contact with power and how that works, because Ken has been helping us so much by encouraging us to read God's Word and to be in God's Word and talking to us about being in direct contact with the power of God. And I believe that God's Word, that the gospel message, which I think is what the Bible is all about, the gospel message, many times we refer to it as the story of Christ and salvation through Him and the New Testament things. And while in the purest sense of the word, that's the gospel message, that's where we find it. That message was promised from the very first book of record that's in the Bible, the very first book of history in Genesis. And so Paul had a strong affection for the gospel. And as elders do, and I can't speak for all five of us, but I feel like that we all spend a lot of time and thought about you and about this congregation and the things that go on here. We thank God that we're blessed with the people that are here and the hearts that are here. And we know that because of that, we're constantly under threat by Satan because he can't stand that. He wants things to be messed up. And so one of the things that we'll talk about tonight is getting connected with the source. And I want you to know that your elders feel a strong sense of responsibility for you. And we hope that our lives will stay in touch with the source of God's power. And I use this as my illustration here because I've worked on the Christmas lights. And you know, when you're like I am, you just start putting two and two together and you get six. I just saw a lot of parallels between what we do here and what we do. We couldn't preach this lesson in the first century, by the way. They wouldn't have known what that is. Anybody know what that is? What is it? It's a timer. It's a Christmas light timer. But for the purposes of the talk tonight, it's the connect to the power. And we pray in our prayers together and in our individual prayers that we too will stay connected to God and to His Spirit, to the power of God through His Word, so that we can be a connect for you as we are concerned about your spiritual well-being. We want you to continually pray for us and pray for our spiritual well-being and our ability to stay in contact. I was fascinated with all of the things that parallel some of the things that Ken talked about, and I'm going to use one of his passages in Romans when he beat us this weekend about reading our Bibles every day. And it was a good beating, Ken. We needed it, and I needed it badly. But we need to know how important it is for us to stay in touch with God's Word. My particular interest in Christmas lights is stake lights. Anybody in here have stake lights? You ever work with them? I'm the only one. Good. You're going to learn something tonight. Stake lights are a strange breed of lights. If one of them goes out, the others will keep burning. They're not like those little twinkly lights, you know, where if you lose a bulb, you got to spend 3 days to find out which one's out so you can get them started up again. Stake lights aren't like that. When one goes out, it's obvious. Why is it obvious? Well, because they're stake lights and they're in a row, and if one's missing, you got a tooth, a missing tooth. It's real obvious. But to put stake lights together, you don't always put them in the same place every year, so they're different configurations. It wouldn't matter if you marked them or not. You'd have to find a way to put them out in the yard the way you want them this year. So you'd have to hook two or three strings together, and as I worked with those, I looked at the things that make it go together, and it's real easy. The electrical cord just lays in the top of this. The one on the one side's a plug, and the one on the other side's a receptacle. And you just mash that cord in there, and that little thing in the middle, you just slide it up on there, and it forces that cord down on some metal prongs that are sticking up. And guess what that does? Puts everything in touch with the power. It gets the power where it can move through that connection. And folks, you are a connector if you're nothing else. They messed with my deals a little bit. It's one of my, some of my words are gone, I think. Let's go back. There they are. The kinds of things that we do for each other and for others are part of what helps us stay connected to the power of the gospel of Christ and the power of God. Visits, calls, cards, letters, fellowship dinners, having people in your home, Bible studies, church attendance, Bible reading and knowledge, teaching, cleaning, serving, everything we do to encourage and to help each other is a part of that connect that can cause us to help each other light shine. And that's what Christmas lights are all about, isn't it? Have you ever heard the term Christmas light? Honey, be sure and get the Christmas light put up in the front yard. Why do you think that we talk about it in terms of lots of lights? What's with that?
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier. And boy, have we gone overboard with that. We've got lights now. Matter of fact, this guy right here can make lights dance. Never will forget the first time I saw the picture of the house that had the lights going on and off in tune with Mannheim Steamroller. And I thought, wow, that's what it's coming to, because our neighborhood's pretty competitive. When we moved in there, we were intimidated by the Christmas lights. We sprinkled a few around on the bushes and everything, but we knew that we were not just one of the also-rans, but one of the you got to pick your game up people in our neighborhood. But it's finally calmed down and it's gotten normal. But it's something I do every year because I love to do it. I love it. I love the Christmas lights. And when the kids come home, we walk through the neighborhood and we look at the lights. But you know, one of the first things we notice when we look at lights, what do you think one of the first things we notice is about anybody's lights? We're human. We're just like you are. What do you notice? Pardon? How many? Yeah, that's the goal right there. It's in the thousands now, by the way. But what do you notice about the lights themselves? What's one of the first things that will get your attention?
Color.
We like colors, and especially if it's our favorite color, we like colors. The ones that aren't working. Look there, honey. He's got three in a row right there. Is out on that side right there. He needs to get out there. I'll call him when I get back to the house. Because it's not right. If the light's out, is it? And you know what? It's not right for us either as a body to have members whose lights have gone out, who are not engaged in the body of Christ, who are just here and present, if you will, in the proper pew at the proper time. It just doesn't work. It doesn't do what God wants us to do. And you know what? It affects all the other lights. It affects the effectiveness of all the other lights. It doesn't have the same effect as if we're all burning. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be burning. If individual lights are not burning, then the church is not all that it can be. You and me, not connected to the source of power, are not going to burn like we're supposed to. At very best, we'll burn dimly. And at worst, we won't burn at all. And that affects everybody. But if we're individual lights burning, you and me, connected to the source of power, by the grace of God, by the power of the gospel of Christ, and the efforts put forth by His servants, how many of you came into Christ on your very own? No one shared the gospel with you? No one? You just found the Bible one day and read it? And said, this is what I've got to do, and I'm putting my Lord and Savior on in Christ. How many? See, show of hands real quick. All righty then. So the point is, that doesn't happen in a vacuum by yourself. And just like Christmas lights that we put up to celebrate the season, I'm proud that we celebrate a day, one day in a year where we think about the birth of Christ. I don't believe any more than hopefully any of you do that Jesus was born on December the 25th, make him 4 days younger than me. But, you know Abby Purvis and I are the same age, right? But, I'm glad that we do that, and I'm glad that we set at least that amount of time by. But one of the things that Ken said this weekend that really, really got in my bones was, he asked me the question, did you watch any TV this week? I did. Did you get your Bible reading done this week? Well, didn't find time for that, Ken. Wasn't enough time for that. Is that not sad? That's just sad. That we find time for Wheel of Fortune, my addiction, sorry, and other programs that we'll watch on TV, football games. There's no more honor in a football game. And not put ourselves in touch with the Word of God. Real quickly, is that clock working? Yeah, okay. When you put these stake lights together, invariably you have a situation where some of them don't work. Now, I'm going to switch over to twinkle lights for just a minute because I want to make the point about what's wrong with this picture. What do you see that's wrong with this picture, huh? So the lights are out. It's that obvious. So what do you think it is for God when he looks at us as a body and says, you know what? We got a bunch of lights out over here. We got a bunch of lights out over here. We got a bunch of lights out over here. We got a light out over here. That's what we're concerned about. That's what your elders are concerned about. Don't let your light go out. If you have a problem in your life, if you have something that you need dealt with spiritually, talk to us about it. Let's work together to get your light lit back the way it's supposed to be. Don't let Satan or anything else, your job, anything else, interfere with your ability to be a light for God in the world. What's wrong with this picture? Absolutely nothing. It's perfect. That's a perfect wreath with perfect lights and a perfect bulb. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to all work together to shed the good news, to spread the good news message of Jesus Christ. You know, I put the conclusions down as part one because that way you don't know if I'm going to have conclusion part 10 or not. The passage was read to us earlier. The song says exactly what the passage does. But you know what? They both indicate the fact that our lights can go out. And those silly stake lights, you'll have a row of them that work just perfect, and you'll have one that you cannot make the light come on. And so you have to cut that section out, put another section in, and wire it in to get that light to light. Sometimes it takes pretty serious stuff on our part to change our lives so that our light will shine. Think about that tonight. What do you need to change in your life? I've got a dozen things that I've got to change in my life for my light to shine the way it should. How about you? Do you have things that you need to change in your life so that your light shines the way it should? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure. What's a peck measure? Well, it's a bushel. Well, it's a bushel. It's a basket. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I grew up in New Mexico, and I got to go to Carlsbad Caverns more than once. And they used to take you to a section where they turn the lights off. How many of you have ever been in Carlsbad Caverns when they turn the lights off? Is it awesome? Would you rather live in darkness, or would you rather live in light? Which would it be? It's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Darkness is not where we want to be. And God wants us to be the light. He wants us to be in the light. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Folks, we cannot let our light shine unless we tap into the power of God. And the power of God, according to Paul, manifests itself in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to live it, and we've got to love it, and we've got to study it, and we've got to make it part of our hearts. You know, I've been involved in safety for the last 4 years, and I've already given my safety speech up here, but one of the things that really became apparent in the people that we were teaching safety to was the ones that believed in it, made it a part of their daily schedule and their daily life, and they could tell you what SPSA was, and they could quote it, and they could, and their actions on site would tell you that they really believed in working and acting safely. Let's really believe in God the Father. Let's really believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And let's make just some changes in our life this year that will help us be lights to the world. You know, sometimes those lights, just that little thing that sticks through the wire, sometimes the insulation around it would change and it would cause it to separate. And all you have to do when it does that is just pull it real tight and make that insulation skinnier and it'll turn right back on. Well, every once in a while, our preacher has to just pull on us a little bit to get that string tight enough for us to get back in touch with the power of the gospel. I hope we'll do that this year. If you have need to respond to the good news message of Jesus Christ tonight, that's one of the reasons we gather on Wednesday nights, is to make sure we don't miss somebody who's needing to obey the gospel of Christ and be baptized. There's no better time than now for you to make that decision, to put your Lord and Savior on, and to take hold of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with things in your life and you need the prayers of this congregation, there's not a sweeter body of people in the world to pray for you right now as together we stand and sing.